Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
Lord, this month is our month of destiny. I am a child of destiny. Would somebody say that with me? And our focus this month in our on Sundays is understanding how God leads. This is very, very important. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you will go. I will guide you with my eyes. If you want that, say amen to that. So this month, God is showing us how we can be led. We have a glorious destiny in Christ, but we must understand how we can be led into the destiny. So I'm speaking this morning on understanding how God leads. And this is part 2B. It's very important for us to know that our destiny in redemption is not a destination, but an adventure. What that means is when you fulfill one part, another one is open for you. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. So as you complete one glory, another glory is open unto you. For the path of the just is like a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Also, it's very important for us to know that every child of God has an enviable destiny in Christ. Example is Isaac. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 12 to 14, the Bible says, then Isaac sowed in the land and received the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew. He became very great, had possession of flocks, possession of herds, great store of servants. And then what happened? The Philistines envied him. How wouldn't he be envied? If God has done that kind of diverse blessings, it calls for envy. Imagine you are working in a place and you just got a promotion and the job gave you new car, new house, benefits, various benefits, and you are sharing it with your colleague who has not been promoted for the past 5 years. He said, do you know I just got a promotion yesterday? Upon the promotion, I got a new car from the company. They just bought a new house for me, and they gave me vacation with my family for 3 weeks, all expense paid by the company, and also got some fabulous bonuses and all of those. The man is shaking his head. He's shaking his head, but when he leaves wherever you are, he's crying, and what's going on with me? He's so angry that why is he just one person? Then he begins to envy him. You envy you. You greet him the following day. He looks as if he's not even looking. You are not even greeting him. You say, Mr. Paul, I'm greeting you. Okay, thank you. I'm greeting you too. Why is he like that? He's envying you because God has just lifted you. That's how our destiny is in Christ Jesus. We have enviable destiny. And I decree the name of Jesus, beginning from this service, you enjoy that enviable destiny. It's a very special service today. It's a special communion service and covenant day of exemption. So when men are going down, what will be happening to you? You will be going up because your destiny is enviable. And just like Isaac, Galatians chapter 4, verse 28, anyone in Christ Jesus can enjoy the same enviable destiny. Galatians 4:28, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Also, it's important for us to know that we can only arrive at our God's ordained promised land by following God's leading. No one can get there by following himself. No one can get there by following the wishes of his parents, of our parents. No. It's only by God. God is the one that can lead you. That's why this month is very, very important. How God leads, we must understand it. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 to 18, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them, not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up and nest out of the land of Egypt. Every time God leads, you are going up. He said they went up. There was a shortcut, but God didn't lead them through the shortcut. Because they may see war and be afraid. But he led them by his own way. When God leads you, there might be obstacles, there might be challenges, but the end is guaranteed. I decree in the name of Jesus, you will not miss God's leading. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, it will interest us to know how God leads. We started this last week and we said, to access God's guidance, number one, one must be born again. Apart from being born again, you must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then you must be clothed with humility because God will always lead the meek. And then we must understand the voice of God. God will always lead us through his voice. And we mentioned two acid tests of how to know God's leading last week. We said the peace of God that passes all understanding and liberty of the Spirit. This morning, we want to see three other ways that we can access divine guidance. Number one, be spiritual. Say with me, be spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You can always and only discern the voice of God when you are spiritual. That's why David said in Psalm 25, verse 12 to 14, he said, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. You can substitute that fear of the Lord with spirituality. What man is he that is spiritual? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that are spiritual. You can replace that and substitute that. And he will show them his covenant. Now, when you are born again, you are born of the Spirit. But to be spiritual is to walk in the Spirit. So there are two different things. You are born of a Spirit, and you are also enjoined to be spiritual. When you are born again, your spirit is born again, it's rebirth. But it doesn't stop at that. That's the foundational. You have to build on it. You have to begin to walk in the Spirit in order for you to be able to hear God. Just like every child that is born, after being birthed, it needs to grow. The same way as a Christian, you are born, your spirit is born, it's rebirth. Now you have to grow in the Spirit. That's what we call spirituality. And this calls for hearing the word of God. It calls for praying. It calls for fasting. It calls for engaging all the forces of the Spirit that helps to build up your spirit in order to be spiritual. You can be born of a spirit and yet not be spiritual if you are not developing your spirit. So all we are saying, develop your spirit. Now, being born of a spirit is the foundation of Christianity, but being spiritual is growing in the Spirit. And to hear God, we must continue to grow in the Spirit. When we grow in the Spirit, then we are spiritual. But there is no end to spirituality. You keep growing. You keep growing. You keep growing. Just like when somebody said, when you stop learning, you start dying. The same thing is applicable in the realm of the Spirit. When you stop growing spiritually, you become carnal. When you stop growing spiritually, you become natural. That's why you see some individuals' behavior in the church of God. And you wonder whether they are Christians or not. It's even good in the church. They hide it in the church. But when you see them at work or in their business places or at home or in the community, you wonder whether this one is a Christian. Yes, he's a Christian. But what happened? He's only not spiritual. He has not developed his spirituality. Spirituality is of the spirit, but it reflects in the mind, it reflects in the body, it reflects in our ways of life. It reflects greatly in our habit and character. spirituality. And spirituality must be ongoing. There's no end to our level of spirituality. Now, if you want to know whether someone is spiritual or carnal or natural, you watch out for the fruit. It's not something you tell anybody, oh, I am spiritual. No, the fruit is what tells whether you are spiritual or not. If you see a tree now, and you see mango fruits on the tree, and I'm telling you this is orange tree, you doubt. Is that with, well, sir, I respect your anointing, but what I can see, I know mango when I see mango. So it's not to say, oh, this guy is spiritual. No, you can't pretend. It will show your character. If you are spiritual, it will show your character. So if you are the type that is always gossiping, you are not spiritual. If you are the one that is always lying, yes, you are born again, but you are not spiritual. If you are the one that plays politics in church, yes, you are born again, but you are not spiritual. You know what politics? I'm not saying you are voting. No. Politics is you have a meeting, and after the meeting, you begin to call everybody. So what they said in that meeting, don't you think is wrong? Why didn't you say it in the meeting? That's carnality. Or you had your friend, and you pick a word from your friend, and you take it to another person. Look at what this person said to me about you. This person does not really love you. Why can't you tell the person to go and tell him? Those are the little things. Or you put two faces, like what a musician they call two face. You know the completion. When you are in church, you are something. When you are in the business place, you are another thing. And when you are transacting business, you say, well, this one, no church here. Church is different. This is business. And then you begin to do shady things. Then there's no spirituality. Then you can't hear God. You need to watch your life if you are truly growing spiritually or not. When you are doing it the way of the world, yes, you are born again, but you are not spiritual. You can't hear God. God only speaks to those who are spiritual. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. But today, by the blood of Jesus, your conscience will be cleansed in the name of Jesus Christ. New fire will come upon you spiritually in the name of Jesus. And number two, how can we access divine guidance? Through a crave to be led. God is not going to force his leading upon anyone. You must have a crave. You must have a desperation. If you miss your way that way and you are standing there, so many people may pass you by. They think maybe you are waiting for someone. But you need to ask. You ask the first person, he didn't give you the right direction. You ask the second person. So if you don't know the way, you ask the one who knows the way. And God is the Alpha and the Omega. Where we want to get to, he has already gotten there before us. He knew the end right from the very beginning. So you ask God. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3 says, call unto me and I will answer you. But I will not just answer you, I will also show you great and mighty things which you do not know. But you need this desire, true desire. A man having separated himself, seeketh an intermediate with all wisdom. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 1. And number three, how can we access divine guidance? Through the revelation of the word. The revelation. That's why the word of God is very, very crucial. Any child of God that is not studying the word, you are doing yourself a great mishap. Apostle Paul says, study to show yourself approved of the Lord, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is when you commit yourself to study that God will be showing you. Now, this is how it happens. If you read at a surface level, you may not get the best of what you are reading. The same way spiritual. The volume, the depth you go will determine the depth God will go with you. For instance, there are some online courses. They may put it there, this chapter read it for 15 minutes. This one read it for 30 minutes. This one read it for 1 hour. But you know your level of assimilation. The one they say 15 minutes, that's just general. You can read it for 1 hour and still be thinking, I have not gotten something out of this. Praise the Lord. So you know your level. You know when you have caught something. So you keep on reading, keep on studying, keep on hearing until your eyes open to something. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the same way the eyes of the disciples were opened when Jesus broke the communion. This morning, by this communion, somebody's eyes will be opened to the revelation of the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 130, the entrance of your words gives light and understanding unto the simple. Now, what are the biblical proofs of being led by the Spirit? When you are led of the Spirit, there is acid test. Just like when you do a little bit of chemistry or sciences, if you want to differentiate between an acid and a base, both of them might look the same. You may not even you may think it's water, but it's an acid. All you need to do, put a blue litmus paper in that liquid. If it turns to red, run. That's an acid. But if it turns red to blue, that's a base. Praise the Lord, that's an acid test. To be sure that God is leading you, there are acid tests. Number one acid test is supernatural insight. When it is God's leading, there will be no doubt. It will give you accurate insight. This kind of insight may come as you are reading the word of God. Something just leaps from the word into you. As you are hearing the word of God, the same way you are under the sound of my voice, I'm saying something, but God is explaining it in a different way. God said God was speaking to him one day and he was writing, and when he completed the writing, he cannot even read his own handwriting because the way it was flowing, it was. And that was true. One day he sent something to me for us to work on, and I read, I couldn't read. And I needed to go and call his secretary, the one who is very used to his handwriting. And immediately as the guy just came, he just read it. What? I tried to read this thing. I will take it to Pastor Lado. All of us, we tried to work. We couldn't understand what he read. And I understood what he told us. He was writing that in under strange revelation. But when the young guy just came that works for him, he just said, no, this is what. True, look at this. You know the way the African doctor writes? I don't know that's the same way the American doctor writes. You can't read their handwriting. They give you a prescription, and they just write it. Only the pharmacist will see what they have written. I decree in the name of Jesus, supernatural insight for somebody. Isaiah 48:17. Thus says the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Number two, biblical proofs of being led is divine strength. When God is leading you into a project, into an assignment, into as things to do in life, he will also gives you the strength to back it up. Divine strength. You will not be a weakling. And we can see it vividly in this commission. You see the way God's servants walk with divine energy, divine strength. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, it says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he seeth sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body, as thou prepared me. Thou prepared me. So when you are doing a thing and your mind is so weak, you cannot even understand what you are doing, or your mind is beclouded, your spirit is down, you are not energized, watch it. Perhaps God is not there. Or your physical energy is being zapped all the time. Just watch it. When God leads you, he will give you all-round strength, spiritual strength. You'll be able to pray. You'll be able to fast. You'll be able to study the word. Your mind will be thinking calculatively, accurately. Your body will be so smart in whatever God is leading you. But you want to lift your hand to do something, you don't feel it. You want to think about writing about that vision, you don't feel it. Watch it. Perhaps God is not there. But I pray in the name of Jesus from today, I decree my God will continue to lead you. And as you lead you, you will commit to his leading in the name of Jesus Christ. And on this covenant day of exemption, I decree in the name of Jesus, the power of the blood will answer in somebody's life. It's very important for us to know that by redemption, we are not permitted to suffer what the world around us suffers. We saw how God exempted Israelites from the plague that came upon Egypt. Number one, we saw the swarm of flies. And everywhere you see flies, that connotes decadence, stench, some bad omen, something, you know, that is unpleasant. But God delivered the Israelites out of that unpleasant situation. I decree in the name of Jesus, from today, my God will deliver you and exempt you from every unpleasant situation of life. We saw that in Exodus chapter 8, verse 20 to 24. And we also saw the death of cattle, the death of their animals. And that was their major business. So which means their business is crashed in Egypt. Exodus chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. But in that same situation, God preserved the businesses of the Israelites. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, beginning from today, when businesses are going down, your businesses will be going up. When they are laying people off, you shall be exempted. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I decree, when men say there is a casting down, you will say there is a lifting up. It doesn't matter what has happened before. I decree affliction will not arise the second time. If you failed in business before, if you experienced any stagnation in business before, I decree today marks the end of it. In the name of Jesus. We also saw hails and tempest mingled with fire in Exodus chapter 9, verse 18 to 26. This connotes devastation and destruction. And we witnessed one just this Monday. We saw hurricane, the tropical storm, Isaias. I said, this one is Isaiah now. Where did they get this name? All of a sudden, I researched it and I saw that it was Isaiah in Spanish. I said, if it is Isaiah, he's a prophet, he cannot come and destroy us. Shout hallelujah. And where I parked my car, just by, you know, behind the house there, because there's no other place to put it, a tree, I don't know where the tree came from, the branch, big branch, just right in front of my car. I was looking from the window. I said, it cannot. Angels must be there now. And as soon as I got there, just right in front of the car, I went around, nothing touched my car. But somebody said, but something touched my own car. Well, in the name of Jesus, it will not touch your car again. In the name of Jesus Christ. The last one that touched your car will be the last one ever. When there is devastation and destruction, you will be exempted. The same thing happened in church. There were so many places, there were light out. The church light was just like that. Shout hallelujah. Supernatural exemption. That shall be your testimony. We also had gross darkness, which connotes frustration, stagnation, and despair in Egypt. But yet, there was light in the camp of the Israelites. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, when the world is experiencing gross darkness, you will arise and shine because your light has come. And finally, we saw the plague of death in Egypt. That was so disastrous. In Exodus chapter 11, verse 4 to 7, and Exodus chapter 12, verse 29 to 31, all their firstborn died, but God preserved the Israelites. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, the death that is going on in the world will be minus you and your entire household. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, no evil will befall you. No pestilence will befall you. After this covenant day of exemption, there shall be no more evil reports. The last death we witness, the last death you witness in your family, in your household, shall be the last one ever in the name of Jesus. No one is permitted to go after this covenant of day of exemption until after 120 years. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, we understand in the scriptures that famine is synonymous with every generation in history. However, God exempted Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all in the times of famine. And that is why I know in the name of Jesus Christ, no matter how gruesome what the city, what the nation is experiencing right now, when businesses are failing, Economy is failing. People are losing their house. They are losing their investment. I decree in the name of Jesus, as covenant children, you and I shall be exempted. In the mighty name of Jesus. Covenant people flourish in times of famine. In Psalm 33, verse 18 to 19. Psalm 33, 18 to 19. Is that, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. I decree in the name of Jesus, that will be your testimony. That will be my testimony. Now, having known this, we need to exercise our rights. You have the right to exemption, but how do you exercise your right in exemption? That's what I'm going to show us real quick before we partake of the body of Jesus this morning and begin to advance home. Number one, how to exercise our exemption rights. You must have a revelation of your exemption right in Christ. Have that revelation. And that is all we have been showing us. How God exempted the Israelites. Have that revelation that there is what we call exemption package. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, 1 Peter 2, 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you are unique. You are not just like any other person. So when groups are meeting and teams are meeting and people are talking something negative, you let them know that I am unique. Because I have seen it from the world. You must have that revelation. And number two, in order to exercise our exemption rights, you must keep the love of God alive in your heart. Let the love of God be burning. When it's time to go and reach out to souls, go and reach out to souls. When it's time to pray for the kingdom, pray for the kingdom. When it's time to worship in the times that is not convenient, look at all of you. You are putting your mask. I do the same. It's just because I'm preaching. So it's not very convenient, but you are here this morning. It's not like some people cannot come, but they are so afraid and they don't want to inconvenience themselves. But, you know, that's one way we can also show our love unto God. When it is convenient, when it is not convenient, you are willing to serve the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Keep the love of God alive in your heart. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Keep the love of God alive. When you love God, you keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Number three, engage with the covenant of seed time and harvest. Covenant of seed time and harvest. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be burnt or free. Seed time is good time. When you do the good thing by sowing your seed, you also receive the harvest of exemption. For instance, reaching out to the less privileged, reaching out to the needy, it's not doing them favor, but you are doing yourself a great favor. In Psalm 41, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Look at that. The Lord will exempt him in times of trouble because he's reaching out to the poor. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, which means when there is death in the land, God will keep him alive. And he shall bless him upon the earth. So when there is a curse going on, when there is a pestilence going on, he will be operating under the blessing. That is why I know I should partake of the communion this morning, which is the cup of blessing. I decree in the name of Jesus will continue to operate under the blessing. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. That will not make Thou will make all his bed in his sickness. So even if he happens to be sick, God will make his bed. You know what that means? God will clean him up, raise him up, and make his bed. Which means God is going to raise him up from that sickness. That will be somebody's testimony. And number four, how to exercise our exemption rights. Develop a covenant exemption mentality. Most battle we fight in the mind. Most of the battles are fought in the mind. The mind is a battlefield. So you have to develop a covenant exemption mentality. You have to think exemption. Always. You have to make it your thought. Because your thought will eventually form your act. Proverbs 23:7. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. You have all the exemption right in Christ Jesus. So think exemption. That was the testimony of Apostle Paul. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, he said, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. His thought formed his declaration. And that takes us to the next one. Speak openly of your exemption rights. Speak openly of your exemption rights. There is power of death and life in the power of the tongue. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21. Don't just say anything. Because everything you say, angels are there to confirm it. Angels are robotic in nature. So whatever you tell them, they just take it in. They don't know whether you are just joking around about it. They don't know joke. So don't say what you don't want to see. And don't be sympathetic with people. For instance, you go to where they are doing funeral and somebody is crying that, oh, anybody can die. And you say, oh, yeah, that's true. Nobody knows when he's going to go. No! That's not the way to sympathize with them. Sympathize with them and say the Lord will comfort you. There shall be no more death. But don't say, well, it's true. No, anybody can just die. It's true. We should all be prepared. Anybody can do. No, that's not a way to sympathize. Say what you want. And I decree in the name of Jesus, from today, your mouth will be anointed to speak right. Luke chapter 21, verse 15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. So speak right. Speak right. Speak life. Speak exemption. Somebody say, no, anybody can be involved in an accident. Say, no, not everybody. I cannot be involved in an accident. And he's trying to emphasize it. Are you not human being? Human being can be involved in an accident and die. I'm saying I cannot be involved in an accident and I cannot die. I'm a spirit being. Don't let anybody sell his agenda to you. Reject it aggressively. Because Ezekiel chapter 9, and verse 6 says, lay utterly hold and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So God is beginning the exemption right at this sanctuary this morning. And it will begin from you, your children, your wives, your parents, your siblings, anyone related to you, connected to you, associated with you, in your caucus, in your team, in your vicinity, in the name of Jesus. Jump to your feet this morning and make a loud noise unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift up your voice and begin to appreciate him. Give him praise for the word. Exalt his name. Repros katolegedos. Please pray in the Holy Ghost. Rapura garosh. Elipa kakato. Zupreketoli agadas. Limpra katozi, reprekeketos, alimpros kayagado, shakaragadozi, limpra kakato zuso, epreketodia, ripapa kotozi, epreketozia, ripakatos, epuraka kayaga katozi, zakatolia, rimprekeketo ligadosh, akukatozi, empra kakatos, epula kayagas, sirin keketo ligaboshi karagagados. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Please take your seat. We are still going to pray and partake of the communion. But you cannot fully enjoy this exemption if you are not a child of God. If you are not born again, there is no way you can be exempted. Life without Christ is full of crisis. It's vulnerable. It's just like somebody who just gets out of automobile dealership, and there's no insurance on the car. It's a risk. So you have to be insured in Christ Jesus. In him, you can have the full life insurance and assurance. I want to give you an opportunity this morning, everyone under the sound of my voice, in-house and online, virtually. You want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to rededicate your life to God. You want your spiritual life to change. Maybe you were born again before, but you are not spiritual. You want God to help you to be spiritual so as to be able to hear his voice. Why not? Bow your head and say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your precious blood you shed for me on the cross of Calvary. I give my life to you today. I rededicate my life to you today. From today, I made up my mind to serve you, to follow you. I made a decision today to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you for accepting me in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for everyone who said the prayer this morning. You have not called the seed of Jacob to seek you in vain. Jesus, I pray this morning that you wash their sins with your precious blood. For you said whoever comes to you will not cast out. Jesus, accept them this morning. Save their souls. Let them be born again. Thank you for answering us. Thank you because it's a new dawn, new beginning for them. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Give the Lord a big, big hand of praise.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International, New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.